So onto news and views from the European continent, and this is our weekly connection with our colleagues out at Deutsche Welle in Bonn. And the European Union has sent the biggest delegation to visit war-torn Ukraine since the start of the invasion. European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen and other top European officials met the Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky yesterday. You would have seen that all over TV, regardless of where you are in the world yesterday. But today, an official EU-Ukraine summit will be taking place in Kiev. And the aim of the summit is to discuss further support for Ukraine and the future relationship between Brussels and Kiev. Deutsche Welle correspondent Marie Sina for more on this. Marie, welcome. What signal does the EU want to send with this visit?
Hi. So it's usually not part of the job description of an EU commissioner to travel to a war zone. Nevertheless, the EU sent 15 of its really top-level commissioners to Kiev, in addition to the president of the commission, Ursula von der Leyen. And it's also the first ever EU summit to be held in a war zone. This summit could have been held remotely. It could have been held in a different location. But no, it was hosted right in Kiev. So it's safe to say this is a historic moment, and it's a big gesture of support and of solidarity. The signal is clear. The EU stands with Ukraine.
So do we already have any information on what Europe will be offering Kiev on this trip?
Yeah, so it's not all symbolism. There have already been some concrete announcement already yesterday. The Commission President Ursula von der Leyen said that there will be a 10th round of sanctions on Russia before the one-year anniversary of its invasion of Ukraine later this month. And she's also pledged more financial aid to fund, for example, energy equipment. For example, the EU will send money to fund millions of LED light bulbs. That's because the infrastructure in Ukraine has been severely damaged in this war. So those are already some concrete commitments. But then there's one big area that the Ukraine is waiting for, is waiting to cover still, and that's the EU membership process for Ukraine. Ukraine wants to join the EU, and since last June, Ukraine is a formal candidate to join. And the Ukrainian side has been venting the idea of an expedited time frame for this membership application. The Ukrainian Prime Minister spoke of 2 years. That's incredibly fast, and that's unlikely to happen from what we're hearing from the EU side. Visitors from Brussels are expected to pour cold water on Ukraine's hopes for such a swift membership process.
So does Ukraine have a realistic chance of becoming an EU member state in the near, even the midterm future?
In the near future, it does not. And that's because becoming an EU member is a very long process. For example, the last country to join was Croatia, and it joined a decade after applying. And Ukraine's neighbor, Poland, joined 20 years after applying. So the Ukrainian Prime Minister's goal of 2 years really is unrealistic, even in these unique circumstances. And so Ukraine is looking at a long reform process ahead. It needs to prove that its laws and institutions are on par with the rest of the EU, and that includes sectors like education, like healthcare, like corruption. There has already been progress made, and Ursula von der Leyen pointed that out yesterday. The Ukraine has already reformed a lot of its system in terms of corruption, but really this is a matter of really long-term reform. And in addition to that, the EU has stated clearly that it will not admit a country that's at war. And right now, there are still troops on the ground in Ukraine. And so that's another aspect that really kind of hints at the fact that 2 years is unrealistic. And this visit is really also about managing these mismatched expectations between Ukraine and the EU.
About 1,000 kilometers east from Kiev, Vladimir Putin was marking the 80th anniversary of a battle that turned the tide in the Second World War. The Battle of Stalingrad saw the Soviet army, of course, capture nearly 91,000 German troops in a major turning point of the war. And during this commemoration speech, President Putin drew parallels between Russia's invasion of Ukraine to fight against Nazi Germany. What message was he sending?
Well, the message that President Putin was sending is a message of clear war propaganda. Russian President Putin said, "We are again being threatened by Leopard tanks. They are again preparing to battle Russia in Ukraine," thereby alluding to the Second World War. And he's referring to the German Leopard tanks that the government just now decided to send to Ukraine to defend it from his invasion, from President Vladimir Putin's invasion of the country. And these types of wartime associations of German guilt are really very a common tactic for Putin. It's not the first time that he's using the Second World War to promote his modern day political agenda. He's repeatedly used empty accusations of Nazism as an excuse for his invasion of Ukraine. And the reason that he's doing that is that he's attempting to change the narrative, because the narrative that most observers understand is that he has invaded Ukraine 2 times in the last 8 years, not because of any threats from Germany or from the EU or from NATO, but because he cannot stand the idea of an independent Ukraine. And so as the war continues to escalate and he's preparing to mobilize more troops, he's grasping at justifications and turning to these Second World War comparisons to mobilize support within Russia, and doing it during a commemoration of the Battle of Stalingrad that has such a deep resonance in Russia is really propaganda tactics.
And we're going to thank you for your contribution and your insights into Europe today. Of course, our colleague from Deutsche Welle out in Berlin, Marie Sinner. Every Friday, just after 10 o'clock news, it is now 17 past 10.